Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, a podcast dedicated to worldwide events in the Blood Bowl community, with your hosts, Tim and Steve. Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, Episode 1. This is Steve, a.k.a. Kilowoggy. With me, as always, is Tim. How's it going, Tim?
Sitting here great, Steve. Yep, very excited. Going worldwide.
I mean, we always were worldwide.
We were only talking about the world before, and now...
It's more the world. So, new format, welcome. We are going to be talking about tournaments other than the World Cup until we talk about the World Cup again, because eventually that'll come, but until then... There are tons of tournaments around the world that need people to attend them, so their friends don't get sad because no one's showing up.
Yeah, it's very true. And, you know, I mean, we just would love to talk about, like, the different rule sets of those tournaments, different team builds, things to do in those towns, you know, just as much as we can about any exciting tournaments that we come across.
Yeah, we mentioned it last time. We did get a lot of email feedback from people who were like, hey, talk about this or talk about that. People who want to talk about their own tournaments. We're happy to talk about anything. Emphasis is probably going to be on bigger or, as someone mentioned, probably not bigger, but maybe more prestigious events or some that are held, like there's one in Spain, you know, that is supposed to be a really awesome tournament. Not the hugest one, but, you know, it's a special one. So we can talk about that. If you want to talk about it, let us know. We'll try to work you in. We don't have a set schedule for this. This is just going to kind of be when we get something out, we put it out. We're not going to be month by month or week by week. Just be whatever we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know if we have kind of a runtime in mind or anything. It'll probably just depend episode to episode how much comes out.
Oh, yeah. It's just, like I said, it's going to be whatever it is. So...
be amazing.
Absolutely. We're always open to suggestion, too. So if we start doing something you don't like, but generally talk about tournaments, do an episode about building rules and squads for that tournament. Yeah. And then when it's ran, talk about how it went, who won, their squads, stuff like that. And to kick this all off, what better event than a Moracle Cup?
Yeah, it's the World Cup of America, which is North America, where we are.
Is it specifically, I guess it is North America, it's not South America.
Yeah, I think illustrious South America. Right,
that's true. So
forget those guys, but they're invited. We'd love to have them.
Absolutely. We got a couple of organizers on for Moracle Cup. We're going to talk about that. And if you have any questions for them, we'll put the email address at the end as always. Let you know how to contact us. And unless you have anything else, I think we're just going to go to that and then end the episode.
Very exciting.
Okay, that's good. Okay, we are here, and we are with a couple of organizers who, let's go ahead and have you guys introduce yourselves. Let's go with the most beautiful first.
It's not me.
There we go. I just want to see who's actually going to fess up to it.
Well, you got two Canadians on the line, so we're both very polite about not wanting to claim anything over the other. My name's Grant. I'm one of the members of the Moracle Ottawa Committee.
And my name's Ian, and I'm also one of the members of the Ottawa Moracle Committee, and thrilled to be on a podcast that includes you fine gentlemen. I'm half of a podcast myself, The Eye of Nuffle, and so when, you know, one of the big guys comes calling, you pick up the phone.
You mean Steve?
I'll take it. I mean, I'll be the big guy this time, sure. So we got you two. How many people are on the committee?
I was just thinking about that. So
you don't know.
Part of the situation is that this event was supposed to happen 3 years ago, basically. But then, you know, we had our massive COVID pandemic, which set us back quite a bit. And then we wanted to try and give enough buffer space with the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with a different number than we now have. And we've had a couple people come and go from that group. But I think we have 5 members that all have different responsibilities on the Amoracle committee.
Yeah. And I guess kind of how'd you guys break that down? Like what kind of responsibilities were you planning for?
Okay. I'm getting thrown into fire here. Okay.
I brought Ian on board because he wasn't part of our original group, but I brought Ian on board because I thought, here's a guy that is clearly happy to be delegated to and loves being thrown in the fire all the time. No, Ian's such a wonderful tournament organizer himself. I thought, you know, he does so much great work online promoting his events. We should pull him in to take over the role of our socials and a lot of our data collection and stuff like that. I've been in charge of swag. Mark Daggers has been our lead, so he's been in charge of venue and pricing and contacts with lodging. And we also have Dan Chaput from the Montreal area, who's responsible for raffles and prizes. And we also have Sean Huberman, who's been on different podcasts in the past as well. And he's taking the lead on our technical side of things.
And maybe we could add Sven Drakenspear, who's likely going to take on the Sevens event that we're likely to hold the evening before.
It's always good to have that, yeah. Has there been any major problems? I know you talked about the delay, but obviously this has been messed up for a while because just COVID and life. Are there any problems that came with that, or was it just really just a matter of pushing it back and getting it all organized?
So a few of the members on the Ottawa committee attended the Richmond event in 2017. Is that right?
Yes.
So I was there and I loved it and I thought it was amazing. And when we won our bid, we knew that we wanted to do something that was comparable, or try and surpass it in some ways. So we really didn't want to make it happen early or make it happen with restrictions for attendance or restrictions for gathering spaces. Ontario, Canada really went really slowly on easing back all the COVID restrictions for a long, long, long time. And now things are much more normal. But, you know, different states had lots of different restrictions and there was travel restrictions. And we just wanted to make sure that we were waiting until there would be no barriers for anyone who wanted to come to Amoracle Cup to be able to do that.
Now, speaking of, this is kind of a natural way to transition into it.
Yeah.
You've recently, as of just today, the day we're recording, have announced that you're expanding the attendance ability.
Yeah, we're thrilled to announce that while we had hit the initial ceiling of 42 teams and 168 coaches, that after discussions between Daggers, the head of our committee, and the venue, that we can expand, and we can expand by another 20 teams. So that's 80 people. If those all sell out, we're going to be, 248, which I think is the biggest ever blood bowling event that has ever been held in North America. Now there's some ifs in there, and I'm sure that as it comes along again, Chaos Cup is going to have something to say about it. And who knows, maybe a World Cup build, but for the moment, we would gladly take that laurel for at least a little while.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and I mean, such a big expansion, too. You have an extra 50%. That's awesome.
Yeah, so not all of the members on our team live in Ottawa. So some of us have a better sense of the space and the venue and things like that, and other parts of us are just from Southern Ontario or Ontario, Quebec area. So a few hours travel from the location the venue will be in. So it was really great that Mark was able to negotiate and then make sure that we were able to open it up. Because I know there are more people that are interested. And even today, people started messaging me right away as soon as Ian posted that, hey, I'm booking my travel now. Oh, well, I need to start considering if I can make this work. And
yeah, you told me, and I'm like, dang it, now I have to try to go.
Yeah, I know Drew and Chance and I were kind of talking about it, but it's just too far out for us to coordinate that, and it already sold out, so we'll see. Hopefully we can get up that way.
And it's really exciting. Well, not only do we have, obviously, Americans and Canadians, we've been in discussion with some people from the Mexican Federation Blood Bowl League. What's his name? Fletcher, that runs that organization on Facebook. We've been trying to entice them to come up. We'd really love to see a team from Mexico to come up. But we already have some teams coming from Europe, which is incredible. Ian, I don't know if you want to mention...
Yeah, we've got three confirmed European teams, two from England and one from Germany. And also thrown in on top of that, we've got at least one Italian lad that I matched up via the mercenary list with a team, and he's going to be there. And one of the NAF bigwigs was on, he's part of the defending champions when he lived in Canada at the time, and he's coming back to defend the title, apparently. So we will have at least, you know, what, 12, 13 people flying across the Atlantic for this, maybe more now that there's more spots.
Alex Weiss is coming back, and that's really, really, really exciting. He used to be one of our best Canadian coaches when he was a German living in Canada.
So with all those people traveling, obviously you have to have accommodations. And I know there was some question about the accommodations because it's included. But some people wanted to bring families and some people wanted to extend either before or after. I heard that you recently had finalized a decision on that, I guess.
So one of the things a lot of us Canadians experienced when we went to the Richmond Amoracle was feeling a little displaced. And, you know, some of that is on us, but I didn't really feel like that brewery had many accommodation options nearby. Like, there was a trailer park across the street from the brewery. And I looked at, should we rent a trailer? I don't know. What should we do?
No, you
know,
I went to that, too.
Where and everyone else is.
Yeah, and there was no common area. It was, right. We were all at all these weird different hotels about 10, 15 miles away, and it kind of sucked.
Exactly. And my first big tournaments when I went down to the States, like Slurpee Bowl and early Chaos Cups, the whole thing was there, right? That, like Johnny P always says, the Blood Bowl summer camp vibe. You see everybody for breakfast, you make plans for dinner, everybody's back at home in the same place, there's games happening here and there. And that was the one thing we felt was maybe we could improve upon from the Richmond experience. So that's why we linked into the University of Ottawa and finding the dorm spaces there where we could have a central hub for all of our Blood Bowl coaches. Ian, do you want to continue with some details on that? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the good things about that dorm space is that each team will have two dorm rooms and each of those suites will have two rooms. So each coach will have a private bedroom. The suites have a common kitchen area and a washroom, common washroom, private washroom. So it's not a bad setup. And one of the other good things about it is it's literally a 10 to 15 minute walk. If you're a slow walker, you'll get to the venue in 15 minutes. And you're in the heart of Ottawa, which usually costs quite a bit to find accommodations in the heart of Ottawa. But, you know, after hours, everything's there. Excellent pubs, nightclubs, good restaurants, interesting spaces just to go for a walk and cool down after you've been busy hucking your dice cups at people all day. You can walk along the world famous heritage site of the Rideau Canal and calm your heartbeat. There had been some people that asked about, okay, can I bring family? Can I alter accommodations? We have a point of contact that we were able to secure just last week. We put the data up or the information up on the website at the bottom of the lodgings page. Now, one of the issues we've been having with getting a hold of, you know, all of this precision was that this is not a normal enterprise that's geared to client service, you know, where they take your money and are out to take your money and in theory have an interest in keeping you happy and promptly respond to everything. It's a university, and you know the points of coordination are there, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get the instantaneous answers to all of the questions that you may be looking for.
Yeah, it's out of semester season for them, so that's why the dorm spaces are available at all. So yeah, the conference services, I mean, is shifting over to a different time and different staffing than normal. But in terms of people wanting to arrive early or stay later, a lot of that is negotiable through the conference center. And we have had a few coaches from abroad inquire about altering the team fee and seeing if they could find accommodations elsewhere in Ottawa if they were planning on staying for a week or wanted to be somewhere different with more than just their coach team, bringing family. And to keep things simple, we've just been kind of doing that on a case-by-case basis. I mean, the prices is fixed somewhat for the event and the event space, but we're able to sort of negotiate like removing that lodging and helping people make sure that they're excited about their trip and still have a trip that they're excited about.
And if the people want to do that, should they go to the website and contact through there, or is there a specific person they should contact?
Yeah, website or Facebook Messenger via the event or the Amoracle page are all good contact points. Yep.
Okay. It certainly sounds like a good place to be. I mean, you could probably squeeze 8 people in there if you wanted to. Probably not recommended, but now, if you're in charge of the swag, what type of swag are we talking about?
Yeah, I'm super excited. So swag was something I was like, I want to be the swag guy. And that was like, it feels like a decade ago, or at least half a decade in reality.
It was.
yeah. So we've got 3 custom miniatures. So I really loved the theme at Richmond Amoracle where they had 3 big guys. They had like a bison, a luchador ogre, and a wendigo kind of trollish creature. So I loved the idea of the 3. So we went with 3 stunties this year as our mascots. So we have a mascot that is a halfling mountie. We've got a lizardman Aztec warrior. And we've got a founding father a goblin who looks like, I mean, how do you describe him, Ian?
George Washington.
George Washington-esque, yeah. Powdered wig, ruffled sleeves, looks a little dirty and corrupt, definitely willing to take bribes. I'm just saying. Talking about the goblin, not the political anything, right?
Guys? Of course.
So those 3 miniatures are all cast in metal.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're from Hungry Troll. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And we've got the exclusive rights. So you won't see that anywhere else except for a Moracle Cup. We've got dice from ChessX. It's 4 different dice. So 4 different logos on the 6. So you'll have 2 sets, which is great. We've got bottle caps and a dice bag. And we've got patches, stickers, a lot of other branded cool stuff. So each coach will get a little swag bag that will be a memorable thing to keep. And we've also invited Jack from Maelstrom. He's designed our pitch, and the details on that will be released soon. And he's also taking lead on our trophies. There's lots of trophies. I mean, at any team event, you've got individuals, and then you've also got team trophies. So there's lots of trophies coming from Jack at Maelstrom. And then we're also inviting him. Remember in the past when he's gone to Chaos Cup, he'll kind of make some special one-off stuff from his, you know, special private collection. So we expect that that'll be coming to Ottawa as well too.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about the pitch because it's not online, it's not been mentioned before. So I was hoping that was going to be the case. That's awesome news. Look forward to seeing it.
Awesome. Yeah, we are too. We're excited to share it. Steve, does that swag make you interested?
I've already been interested. It's just a matter of traveling again. I've traveled so much this year. Like,
that's what you got
to
do.
I know. Now that I actually have the time and money to do so, it's nice. But I also enjoy having time and money. But that's okay. I'll figure it out.
If you come, I will buy you all the oatmeal Debbie cream cakes you want.
I even told myself to take that down before we start recording. Otherwise, I'm getting made fun of. And I'm like, nah, they won't see it. And I just like move my camera and right there. What's that?
Forget the biscuits. There's something like 50 microbreweries within 5 kilometers of downtown Ottawa. I'll buy you a beer, Matt.
I don't drink. Now, Grant probably knows.
Don't drink yet.
I don't. He probably knows what the real thing that draws me to Canada is.
It's the bacon dippers, right?
It's the bacon dippers.
I was going to ask about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll load up a whole suitcase.
Have you ever had poutine before?
Oh, yeah.
Not officially.
Not like from Canada.
Yeah.
So No, but yes. So good.
Well, the Ottawa poutine is particularly excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm in Iowa, which is like the Alberta of the United States. So I feel like it kind of counts.
I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
I mean, just to us in Alberta.
Sort of. let's see. So since we were talking about trophies, there's one trophy or award that's come up a lot in people's questions. If they take all lower races, is there a special award? I know you've answered it, but let's go ahead and put it out there again.
Okay, there is. It's called the All-Amorical Team Trophy, and it is given out to the team that finishes the highest while spending 6 squad points or less. Now, to refresh your memory, the rule set is such that there are tiers A, B, C, and D. To take a tier A team, you spend 4 of your squad points. B, 3. C, 2. Tier D is 1. So if you only take tier C and D teams, you have a chance to take home the All-American Team Trophy.
I'm sure that will be highly contested.
Yeah, and I think normally it's 10 points you get to spend, right? So it's almost half the points you're giving up.
Exactly.
And that, we think, is also one of the really fun parts of Amoracle in general. Being a 4-person team event, a lot of the fun is deciding on who's going to play what team and then being able to practice up and get ready and optimize your build and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot of pre-event planning and kind of strategizing that your team can do, which my team in the past and I think a lot of our participants are saying that they're really enjoying right now.
Yeah, that was one of the things that was interesting about the World Cup last time, is using that. And then they veered away from it this time. And I really don't know if that's for the betterment or the worsening of it. I haven't really got into it. But it is interesting to play around with the numbers and really see which way you want to go.
Yeah, using the points for the different tiers. Yeah, to build the squad. I definitely think that's always really interesting, for sure. I'm sure it was a lot easier for the World Cup guys to avoid having to check rosters that way and squads, but I like the idea. I think you'll see a lot more different races, hopefully.
If I can sort of spin a question then to you guys as the hosts, are you starting to see tournaments down in your necks of the woods looking at the Amoracle rule set and emulating it to get practice in? Because, you know, certainly we're starting to see that up here now. I run one that I have the ambition that this year will become Canada's biggest non-major, the Capital City Kickoff. And we have incorporated the Amoracle rule set 100% with then one tiny or two tiny little tweaks to it. But it's pretty well the Amoracle rule set to give people a chance to practice it. Are you guys starting to see the same thing?
I've thought about running an event or two doing that myself, but I haven't seen any announced yet. We were actually gonna ask if you had any lead-in events you wanted to promote that were using those rules, because I'd seen you guys kicking around the Capital City Kickoff for sure, and wanted to get it out there for anybody who wanted to.
I was gonna say, I think this is also the slow time, because it's right around the holidays, and people tend to promote events 2 to 3 months beforehand, so. Beginning of next year, maybe there will be more people, and obviously with the increased attendance, which you would expect, there'll be more people who want to go, so they will be testing their own rules and their own events. As of right now, I've not seen any, but again, like I said, slow time. You don't see much.
Well, I know one thing we didn't really talk about, other than sort of as an aside so far, are just like things to do in the Ottawa area, you know, other than just the amazing tournament that they'd be coming up there for. You know, other things that maybe people could kind of incorporate into a longer trip if they're coming from farther out.
Okay, well, Ottawa is a tourist destination. I mentioned earlier the fact that we've got the World Heritage Site of the Rideau Canal that people can not only walk along, but if you wanted, you could take boat rides on. You could rent a kayak and explore it. There is the Gatineau Hills Park. It's Canada's largest non-national park, which is just right beside us across the river in Gatineau. Ottawa features lots of cultural activities. The National Arts Center is here. It has the Canadian Football League kicks off earlier than the NFL because of winter and, you know, weather in Canada. And that weekend will be probably the opening weekend of preseason. There might be a game. The schedule hasn't been released yet. The local soccer team will be in full flight in the Canadian Premier League. So there's that sort of thing that you can do. There's also all sorts of things that you can visit around the Ottawa region. You could go whitewater rafting up the Ottawa River. You could go just across the bridge and explore Quebec and try out your français, if you like. So there's all sorts of things you can do up here.
Yeah, and, I got no français, so it ain't happening there.
But, you know, you're going to be at a situation where you're going to be with, you know, upwards of about 200 of like-minded coaches. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go whitewater rafting. I'm going to be hanging out with the guys wherever they go.
Of course. So if, let's talk about food. I mean, we talked about poutine. If there's one type of dish or place that we should hit, what would that be? Tim Hortons?
I mean, Tim Hortons, yeah. If you want some mediocre coffee, I mean, that's fine. I mean, Tim Hortons is very convenient and it can be an experience, I suppose. No, I was going to say one of the interesting things about Canada, you know, we are a very culturally diverse country, and Ottawa certainly is a great example of that. So if you are someone who loves sushi, Thai food, you know, any kind of fare you can imagine. Is it the Rideau Center? Is that what the large food court mall area is that is very close by the Shaw Center? I mean, like endless cuisine options and very affordable, of course, especially if you're coming from America. Your budgeting shifts a lot because your dollar is significantly stronger than ours right now. And that can help your trip a little bit. But it would be really nice for people to get to try poutine if they think they'd like French fries with cheese curds. It has to be squeaky cheese curds on top and then the gravy poured over so that things get just the right amount of soggy, but not too soggy.
One other thing about getting around the city, I guess. I just wanted to know what kind of travel method you'd recommend for anybody who's coming from farther away. Like, is it a situation where you should plan on renting car, or is there good sort of mass transit, or everything's kind of in walking distance of where we'll be?
It's an excellent question. Ottawa does not have excellent mass transit, but it has decent enough mass transit. There are bus links from the airport into downtown. There's plenty of taxis to get you into downtown. Once you're in downtown, you're not going to want a car or need a car. A car would be a burden. You'd have to find or pay for parking for it. You will be able to walk around all of the key things. If you want to go visit Parliament, you can walk to Parliament in 10, 15 minutes. What we call the Bytown Market, where there's lots of good eateries and pubs, that's within 10 minutes walk. There's all sorts of museums, like the War Museum. You could walk along the Ottawa River and get there in about 20, 25 minutes. It's all very walkable, and that makes it just better. And early June is a nice time of year. It's not yet stinking hot and humid. It'll just be probably a nice temperature, and it will be nice to be outside and walking around.
Definitely will be nice to just visit, you know. Any place that's walkable is better than most of America, so that's something.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that people like to do when they walk around is shoot on and post on social media, and one of the problems that occurred with World Cup, according to a lot of people, was the lack of coverage when it came to social media. Do you guys have anything in plan for that? Or, you know, live streaming or posting results or posting results afterwards or anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? Fortunately, I had the birth of my new son at like World Cup weekend. Mm-hmm. So that was wonderful for my family. And then obviously I had to cancel my World Cup trip. But that also meant that I was extremely like suffering from FOMO and was constantly refreshing and hunting for info and looking for stuff and texting friends on WhatsApp, like, what was this round? Who were you matched up with? What was going on? Yeah, and I can definitely commiserate that it was a little bit frustrating. I felt like I wanted to know what was happening because I was missing out on something cool that was happening. And I think we want to make sure that we don't undercut that some people won't be able to attend for any different reason and might want to know what their friends are up to and how rounds are doing. Ian's done a really wonderful job taking over the helm of our socials and sharing, you know, so much great information, mostly through Facebook. And we have a plan as a team as well to make sure that the weekend is publicly shared. We want to use the Blood Bowl. We want to continue to use the Blood Bowl Facebook community page as a, you know, single spot. And our website is building and building in content. That won't be a great location for the weekend, but we've had Sean build from scratch a completely independent, homebrewed, how would you describe it, Ian? It's kind of like tour play that he made on his own.
Yeah, a tournament management app.
Yeah.
Huh.
And we've been play testing it for the better part of 2 years now.
Now, is this going to actually, is it just reporting the thing to everyone else, or is actually what's going to be running the software to run for the event?
Both.
Okay.
So this software is a web app. And pardon, I'm not a terribly tech savvy person. My phone is from 2015. It's working great though. I never update it. So this web app shows you your round, your matchup. It also shows you all the results from each round if you want to look at other people's. Shows you the standings from each round. You can click and then see rosters so that all the rosters are online and that you don't need to bring multiple copies to give to your opponent.
Nice.
And you can reference it whenever you like on your device. And then that eventually creates the XML, is that what we call it? The Blood Bowl.
Oh, for the NAF.
Math doc. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any availability for outside parties to view that information, or is it just the people who are attending that can view it?
Yeah. So participants will be able to use their NAF credentials to update and submit results and view their specific matches,
mm-hmm.
whereas guests would be able to view and see results as they come through.
And there'll be output for round by round, and is it going to output for like stats for casualties and touchdowns and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, and we've been testing that for quite a while, and things look great. We've been testing it for bugs over a lot of Canadian tournaments, and a lot of TOs have contributed lots of feedback, so that's been awesome. Sean's been working really hard on it. I think it looks really amazing considering it's one person doing all of this in his spare time for the project. You know, it doesn't look like 12 people on a dev team have made it because it's one person in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
But the functionality is really remarkable, and I think it's pretty awesome.
And is that going to be uploaded with information before the first round? So like at World Cup, we can see our first round matchups and then and be able to view like who we're playing and what we're playing against?
For round one, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can look at all the rosters that are submitted and everything. That's great. Awesome.
And then you can chat with your teammates, you know, oh, I'm going to destroy this person and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I did trash talking against my opponent and he never answered on Facebook. And then I showed up and he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, okay, well, please proceed to beat me. Enjoy.
I just want to see all the mistakes I made making my roster, like from everybody who had good versions.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that would have been a better call. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I don't worry about it, you know. But speaking of Tim and his just undying love of rules and roster building, did you have any questions regarding the actual rules of the event?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the main thing for me that's always one of the most interesting things every time I see a tournament that has tiers is just sort of what went into how you decide to tier the races. I mean, there's definitely some differences between, say, like World Cup's tiers and this, and I'd love to hear about sort of your thoughts on that.
So one of the interesting aspects of a Morocco Cup and the way that the NAF structures some of these special events is that our Ottawa team created a bid and submitted it and were selected over the other bids. Our bid does not include the rules build or the roster creation details. In fact, that is built by the Amorical Committee through the NAF and is given to us.
Oh,
so they presented us with a rule set for our original date in 2020. And when we delayed and then delayed and then delayed, then we had to go back to the committee and say, I think a lot has changed in the meta. Yeah. a lot has shifted. Teams have been completely remade and reworked. So we are requesting that you reevaluate and examine star access and all these. We kind of gave some major points that we were hoping that they could look at. And that team, that committee that's made up of NAF admin, as well as previous Amorical
organizers,
bid winners, organizers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. They build that roster creation together, and then they deliver that to us, is how like the system works on that.
That's an easy way to
it's
do it.
It's also nice for us to be able to pass the buck, but that's the way
absolutely.
The actual system works.
Right.
Now,
man, I feel like a lot of my rules questions are going to be lost now.
But we're happy to talk about them.
Yes,
with you for
yes,
sure.
Of course. Yeah, I'm sure plenty of other people have questions if I have questions. So.
Now, Vampires and Amazons, those are the two most recent. Obviously, your rules came out. We haven't seen too much change in the meta. Obviously, Amazons are about where they were. Vampires seem to be better than they were. You're allowing all the stars that came out, obviously. Where do you have vampires tiered, and do you think that's appropriate?
Ian, I'm going to let you take this in just 1 second, but I just wanted to say, I wonder, I mean, I'm not super up on all the stats. I mean, I know the tableau is everything, and there's lots of details to dive into, but I just wonder if the recent release of Vampires and the excitement about Vampires as a slightly changed, as a changed roster has made more people excited about trying them, and then more people are playing them. So then that means it's more likely that it's potentially a winning roster. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how much that could potentially be a factor of the recent success we've seen them in some large events, but also some small events, as compared to like, if it was just a little change, maybe not a lot of people would take them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was like, what, 11 vampire teams at World Cup or something? Mm-hmm. Just having more of them will definitely mean there'll be more that are successful.
I think there might have been 11 at Chaos Cup. I mean...
yeah, right. You know, a tournament a tenth the size.
Exactly.
And they all finished in the top 10.
Yeah, right. It seemed that way.
Well, you know, I think that it's an excellent question. I mean, I had nothing to do with the rule set, you know, but I have opinions. And, you know, certainly vampires sitting in tier B look like a very delicious option to choose. If you're a good coach, you know what you're doing, you could do well with them in this. I mean, let's face it, they won the Chaos Cup. I think they also came in third in the Chaos Cup. They won the Underworld Cup down in Michigan. They won a tournament recently up here in Canada. Boomember, you know, I suspect we're going to see lots at the Capital City Kickoff. I think in the hands of a good coach, they're going to be very strong. The other one to me that really popped out was Snotlings. I think Snotlings could do very well with this build.
I feel like all the tier D teams really feel like I would be highly interested in playing them. I guess other than maybe Goblins, but I mean.
Goblins are fun.
They have so much more favorable rules for stunties in this tournament than, like, say, World Cup had, and that whole year of playing those rules had.
Agreed. And, you know, I think the corollary to that is the tier A, for me, seems less interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't going to go with a tier A team. I've got my eye on a tier C team for my squad. But... you know, if I were a guy that likes these real powered teams that normally you'd see in a tier one, you know, I'd think long and hard about taking them.
I think tier A gets, what, 4 primary skills and can't take secondaries and can't take stars. So, I mean, it's pretty limited options.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about stars because obviously in the current meta, stars are just ubiquitous on almost every team now. It's kind of annoying. Are you allowing all the stars, or are there some stars that are just completely not allowed?
So what they've done is they have followed this new trend of having normal, quote unquote, normal star players, and then mega stars, as we saw coming out about a year ago in the matched play guide. And essentially, all of those mega stars are not going to be available to tier A, B, C. They will be available to tier D, but only one of them. You can only get one of them. So there's no Morgan Hackflem. There's no...
Thank God.
Well, you know, exactly. So there's that. Then there's the fact that even if you're just talking about sort of quote-unquote regular star players, if you're tier C, you can get one of them. And if you're tier D, you can get two of them. So that will have a calming influence. I mean, you are going to see stars, in my opinion, especially on those stunty teams.
Of course.
But I don't think you're going to see these horrible combinations.
I know, like, in a lot of tournaments last year or so, they had rules against taking Sneaky Git and bribes on the same team. And that's not in here. And I guess I was just assuming maybe it's because since the Death Roller can't take a secondary skill, then maybe that eliminates that whole issue.
I think for the logic behind the decision, you know, we'd really have to go back to the Immortal Steering Committee. But I suspect that you're right. And I also know that there were a lot of people. I mean, my friend Rob Fossey from Massachusetts and the Goblin Civil Liberty Union was really up in arms about not being able to take Sneaky Git if you have bribes. There are some teams that live or die by that.
Yeah.
Goblins are one, Black Orcs are another. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think maybe they were caught in the sideswept, you know, trying to keep Snotlings from being overpowered at the World Cup. And maybe that was behind a lot of the thinking. I don't know, but we're certainly not going that direction with this rule set.
I think to me, one of the standout things about the rule set, more than any other tournament that I've seen, is you guys are allowing a lot of different types of inducements. Now, again...
Including wizards.
Yeah, as I say, you guys were not the deciding factor on these rules, but do you have any input as to why they went ahead and said, yeah, go ahead and bring whatever the heck you want?
I think a lot of it has to do with there's always a trade-off, right? And there's not an unlimited amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're losing positionals or some significant rerolls if you want to bring in some of these more major inducements. I think a lot of it, too, like the NAF likes to let people play what's in the game. Mm-hmm. And as TOs, we often, you know, all of us as TOs often like to, you know, claw that back, screen away. This is too crazy. This is a bit much. I don't want to be dealing with this. I want a little bit of a more straightforward game. But the NAF always, as a core principle, really likes to let people play the game. And these are part of the standard Blood Bowl 2020 rules. You know, this is all available. So I think that could have been a major part of how we see such a large availability.
And no, speaking of large, I know, like, the big one, people have a lot of issues with seems to be the Giants.
Great segue. Boy, you should be on another podcast.
The Giants are there. They're going to cost you 2 skill points if you're going to take one. So depending on the tier you're in, and let's face it, it's probably going to go to tier T, tier D teams that are going to be most interested in this. But they're certainly going to have 10 skill points, the ability to bring in a Giant if they want. That said, you know, you bring in a Giant, you bring in a Megastar, you bring in a regular star, and suddenly a lot of your team development is just gone. That said, how much do you need if you've got a Megastar star and a Giant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my Morg Giant Snotling team sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
So with Giants and no one really having a good grasp of the rules, aside from the 5 people who decide to take them, obviously with World Cup, events, Chaos Cup like that, you have people who are volunteers or, you know, referees walking around making sure people have answers to questions. Are you going to have dedicated people as referees? Is it going to be an easy way to contact them if need be? And can we just automatically get people who take Giants thrown out?
Yes, 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 and no. Uh-huh. Of course not. Yeah, we have a crew of locals that have volunteered their efforts, and we're gonna have all the, you know, the most recent data and errata and facts all printed out and available, so that our refs can help coaches mediate any rules issues they have. But yeah, we'll have a ref squad there. We want to make sure people can focus on playing their game and not get dragged down into confusing, messy stuff.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's kind of pretty much all we have, I think, in regards to the event. Aside from, obviously, this is something that we want to continue period after period, not year after year. But do you have any insight as to when the next one is wanting to be held, when the bidding goes up, how that's going to work? Or is it mainly we're just going to get through this and then worry about that afterwards?
Once this event concludes, one of the members from our group will be invited to join that NAF committee for future Immortal steering. And I think I've already been nominated by our group to take that role. So maybe after June is done and I become part of that committee as well, I can give you some more information on what the future of Immortal looks like. We're very excited to have it come to Canada. And we feel really happy and excited that so many people decided to leave their registration with us for so long while things were so uncertain for such a long time. And we're really excited at how many people are registering brand new teams and making plans to come travel. I would expect that it would go back south again in the future, but it all depends on what communities and what Blood Bowl areas decide to put in bids.
I mean, it really sounds like we need to get the Mexican Federation up, get them to learn how to do it, and then the next one's held in Mexico City. That sounds like the logical...
South.
Yeah. Take a couple steps south, and we're all good.
I'd love it.
You wouldn't hear this from most people from the U.S., but we know that America doesn't mean just our country. Like, it's important to have the entirety of the continent involved.
Appreciate it.
Well, any final questions, Tim?
No, I'm just really excited. I hope Immortal Cup goes great this time, and that, you know, it becomes like the Euro Bowl and is happening all the time. I would love to see that.
Oh, I do have one final question. So we expanded the people that can come. When's the cutoff?
Ooh, yeah.
Like, not the number of people, but like when, timeline, when or is the final time that we can register to come?
Honestly, I think that our inclination up here for most tournaments has been that, you know, even if we get a last minute registration, we'll do our very best to see if we can't squeeze people in. That said, I honestly hope that we're going to be in a situation, you know, in the coming weeks where, you know, I can put another sign up on the website saying, sorry, but we're sold out. You know, I would like those slots to go, and I'd like them to go quickly. We have had interest. There were two teams that were on our waiting list. I've contacted them. They've said they're going to muster the payment and get on the formal list soon. You know, there are some mercenaries, like a guy in this call who said that he'd like on a team. I've got three guys. I'm just waiting for a fourth and then getting that team pulled in. You know, so honestly, frankly,
well, that's the thing
I hope
too,
that the deadline is like 4 or 5 weeks from now, because we have to say, I'm sorry, but we're full.
And that's the thing too, is like I put my hat in as a mercenary because I was thinking that's probably my only way of getting in because we're full up on squads. But now that that's not the case, I've got other people who are like, hey, I'd love to go. So, you know, I may not be coming as a mercenary. I may be coming as part of a squad now, which is good. Now, obviously, yeah, you want to take registrations as long as you can, and you want to sell out as soon as you can. That'd be awesome. So eventually we're going to need an end date, because you know how Blood Bowl guys are. If you don't tell us the time, they're just going to show up with, you know, money in hand and be like, I'm here, let's go.
Write my roster up that morning.
Yeah
classic on a napkin, right?
Yeah. And you guys will need plenty of time to go through rosters, make sure they're correct, and get everything organized. So
And I certainly appreciate your interest and your enthusiasm, but I think we're dodging this one by saying our website and our Facebook group are very up to date.
Gotcha.
And those are the best places to go for all the details you'll need in the future.
No, I think that's the best way to do it, obviously. It'll update. Will give us more reason to talk about it and try to push people to register by that time.
But in all seriousness, we do need a certain amount of time for the cutoff, especially because the swag that was ordered for the first event was only for the original cap. And that was also ordered years ago. So we've got a new round of orders from all of our swag providers coming in the next couple months. And, you know, that's limited. I certainly don't want someone signing up last minute and then leaving with, you know, a dirty sock instead of some really cool custom minis and stuff like that.
Aren't you glad you didn't put the date on the dice?
Oh, brother, I got something to tell you.
Oh, no.
It's on there.
They're going to be collector's items someday.
It's on there. Oh, boy.
Okay, guys. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Obviously, once we get any more updates, we'll be happy to push it out there. If you got any final words, just let us know.
Thanks so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. I've been a big fan of the World Cup Report, and it's been really nice to listen to season one and season two. And I really appreciate your dynamic as a team. And I just was wondering, so is Drew not coming to this, or what's going on here? When does the podcast really start if Drew's not here yet? Are we starting again?
Tim can answer that. Tim is the new Drew.
I can't answer it at all. I think Drew's coming to town, and I can't even get like the specifics of that. So
unfortunately, Drew has fallen victim to success of the job, which has obviously made it much harder to do the other podcasts and other activities. So, you know, Tim does a great job and he's happy to be here. So I don't think he's going anywhere.
I'm not going to become that successful, Steve. I'll probably be back.
One thing I can advise is don't retire, because then the moment you retire, everybody gets you to do stuff for tournaments. So that's how I got hauled into this effort. And anyway, look, thank you for having us on. One of the things that I've liked so much about being involved in the Immortal Cup and the enthusiasm that I'm seeing is that it's going to do something that I really believe in, is get people across borders. Up here, I've been down to Michigan and New York and Massachusetts playing Blood Bowl. I want to get to Florida and elsewhere. And it'd be great to see North America come to Ottawa next year across the border and get into tournaments. And remember, if you want to practice your Immortal Cup rule set, come to Canada's big one, the Capital City Kickoff, January 20th and 21st.
Is that not sold out yet?
Ottawa.
I thought it was sold out.
It was sold out, but I've had success in reopening registrations for that as well.
Ah.
Our cap is now 64, which for us up here in Canada would make us the biggest non-major held in Canada.
Awesome. Well, Ian, I believe you have a couple other things that you could promote if you'd like. You got time.
Okay, yes. I think you're making a veiled reference to my podcast that I share with my co-partner in crime, Martin McGowan, Miracle_Moggins on the NAF. I'm not the porn guy. We have the Eye of Nuffle podcast. Our emphasis tends to be the Quebec and Ontario Blood Bowl tournament scene. Mm-hmm. And yet, despite that, we have fans around the globe. They like our patented Game in 2 Minutes segments, where we go break down our games without getting into the minutiae of everything. We talk about rules, we talk about tournaments, and we have interesting interviews with our tournament winners. So there's that. Also, I am a writer, and I have started writing about footy. And I think people who are listening to this can understand what that might mean. If they look for Up and Under online, they'll come to a free online illustrated novel. I've written it. It's illustrated by a guy out of Quebec City. It's on bloodbowlstrategies.com. Absolutely free. It's getting released in 44 episodes, each episode with a mind-blowing illustration. There's that. And then also look up, the reason I'm called Not the Porn Guy is because I'm a writer and I'm Ian McKinley. The moment I put up my second book, a guy in Australia called Ian McKinley put out science fiction porn books. And so my publishers have insisted that I put an H, my initial Ian H. McKinley. If you look for Ian H. McKinley, I'm not the porn guy. There's good fantasy, epic fantasy books that you'll find online.
I think that's a good way to end. So Tim and I would just like to thank you guys for coming on, and you're welcome to come back. Obviously, we've got a long time until the event, and we will be happy to put out more information when you have it.
Thanks so much,
guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, all the best.
Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCReportBB. You can email us at worldcupreportworldwide@gmail.com or at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.